Hey, welcome. I'm Chris Lopez, host of the Valley Pod, where we talk to all the interesting people of the San Luis Valley. Joining us today in our studio on the south side of Alamosa is Elisa Maria Heredia. She's been named a finalist for Colorado Teacher of the Year in 2026. She's a multilingual teacher, Alamosa Elementary 3-5. Elisa Maria, it's great to see you. Welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Y felicidades.
Oh, thank you very much. Gracias.
Qué maravilloso. What are you going to do to celebrate? Teacher of the Year finalist, 2026. There's like 50,000 public education teachers in the state of Colorado. 50,000. You're one of 8 finalists for Teacher of the Year. What are you going to do to celebrate?
That's correct.
Go to Chili's.
yesterday, we had a huge celebration at Alamosa Elementary School, and it was a phenomenal, tremendous, beautiful celebration. Surprise.
That was a surprise.
It was a surprise. I was testing a student, and I was administering the with a placement test. It's a test screener that we administer for the newcomers, the new students that come from another district, another school, another country. And this kid was from another country. So we were in the classroom. We were quiet. He was taking the test. The building was quiet. And then suddenly I received a phone call from the office, and they told me, Ms. Heredia, could you please come to the office? And I said, sure, let's go to the office. Then I sent to the student back to his classroom. I don't know how they did it, but the building was so quiet. To me, it was kind of like scary
because I something's thought, going on.
What happened?
Oh, where'd everyone go?
Yes, and when I went to the office, I noticed that everybody was in the gym except me.
And they got you good.
I didn't know what to think. So when I went to the gym, it was a celebration to celebrate the nomination of the 2026 Colorado Teacher of the Year. And I am one of the finalists.
Yeah, one of the Colorado Department of Education, they brought staff down to make this surprise to you. And after that, they released a statement from Susana Cordova. She's the education commissioner for the state of Colorado, Susana Cordova. And she said this: Elisa Maria Heredia is a powerful voice for educational equity and opportunity. Her work with multilingual learners, both in the classroom and across her district, reflects a deep commitment to helping every student thrive. The fact that she now teaches future educators, including some of her former students, is a beautiful full circle moment that speaks to the profound impact she's made over the years. Wow.
Beautiful words, and they have a huge impact on me because I realized that I have more responsibility. I already knew what my call is, my passion, I like to serve the community. And when I read those words, I thought, wow, it's an affirmation to me that I am in the path that I should be.
And that's one of the things also you've noted about your career, that where you get your inspiration, where you really find your passion in teaching bilingual education and being a bilingual teacher, multilingual teacher, is from seeing the success of your students go on to college and then from there into their careers. That to you is what inspires you, you've said. Explain that.
Well, some of my actual I have been teaching for two years at Adams State University as an adjunct professor. I'm teaching math for elementary teachers. And some of my undergraduate students are my former students that were my students at the elementary level. And actually, we were here just a couple of blocks when we were attending Boyd School.
Yeah.
So those are the students that now they are attending Adams State University.
And that's the beautiful full circle moment that the education commissioner speaks of, Susana Cordova, in your career.
It's so beautiful that when I saw those faces, I was in shock. I stopped for a moment because, I don't know, I wanted to scream, to cry, to celebrate, but instead, I just move on and did my job. I was just teaching the class. But then, this is my second year, and on my next year, more students came. And that's when I realized that in some way, somehow, I have been impacting those minds, those brains, those people. Somehow we have been planting the seed for the love of education.
I think it's hard to overstate the importance of being a multilingual teacher for many reasons, but one of the big reasons is because schools get judged by how well they do in educating, moving along the non-English student. That has become this bar that every school in Colorado and United States, there's a metric there of how many non-English students is this school district making successful and moving through the system. And so you have to carry that responsibility, though, and that's an awesome responsibility to lay on your shoulders.
I have been teaching in the Alamosa School District for 24 years. First, I was a paraprofessional, and then I graduated. I received my certification as a teacher, and then I obtained my endorsement to teach English as a second language. And by the way, I haven't seen so many changes in the names for the program.
I bet.
That 24 years ago, it was English as a second language.
Right, which is what I still use.
Then the change was to English language learners.
ELLs. 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 Mm-hmm. Right.
And then
they take on acronyms, by the way.
Yes.
ELLs.
ELLs. And then I don't know. It was so long that now it was just ELS, English language learners, or English language students.
Yeah.
After that, the change was to English language acquisition. But there was a confusion with English language arts. Uh-huh. So for a moment it was, I guess it was just for less than a year that we used that acronym, English Language Acquisition, ELA. Then it was changed to CLD, Culturally Linguistic Diverse Students. Now we are, because I am an English learner, multilingual learners. So...
God bless you for remembering.
Because
and we laugh about it, but that's very serious. The work that you do is really serious. The teaching that you do, that all teachers do, but teachers like you that are helping non-English students adjust, acclimate, learn the English language, become proficient in math, English skills, graduating them along scales to say, okay, you've passed this bar, now you go up to this bar, and you've been doing that particularly well lately.
Thank you. And going back to your previous question, that's why I was explaining about the changes in the program that I represent, is because in the past, we used to have the bilingual education where the students were able to take the test, the CMAS test. It wasn't the CMAS test, it was CSAP, I believe.
Right.
So.
Okay.
And the students were able to take the test in Spanish in their first language. Now we don't have that bilingual education anymore. Everything is just in English. So now the students need to take the test in English. However, if the student is in his first year in the United States, they are exempt to take the CMAS test for English language arts, but they need to take the math test or the science test or the other content tests. But for the English one, they are exempt just for the first year if they are here in the United States.
And then they have
to
take that test in English.
And then for the rest of the years, they need to take the test in English.
Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about the different changes in the acronyms, the different changes in the names of this effort in teaching, but has it really changed in terms of your approach, what you do as a teacher, as
Absolutely.
A multilingual? Explain that to us, how then you've changed or how teaching changed for these students.
Absolutely. In the past, I used to teach all the curriculum that the students, that the teachers were teaching in English. I was teaching the same curriculum in Spanish. When the students were receiving the instruction, the tier one instruction, I was doing the tier one instruction, but in Spanish. Now it's completely different. Now everything is in English, and we provide tier two support in the morning for the reading component. And then the students go to their classrooms, their classes, to receive the tier one instruction. Now we are providing Orton Gillingham instruction for reading for those students that are in the rank of less than the 10th percentile.
Mm-hmm.
We're helping to all of those students. Then for the rest of the day, we provide push-in instruction to the multilingual students in their classroom, in their classes for the content area.
It's a constant learning experience for you as the teacher to go back, relearn how they want things taught, bring those lessons back into your curriculum, back into the school year. You as a teacher, educator, have had to constantly learn and continue to do so.
And I need to provide tier three instruction.
Yeah.
On top of the instruction that the classroom teachers are doing in their classes, where I provide small groups or one-on-one instruction. And sometimes I work with students that are not multilingual students. Sometimes I work with students that may benefit from what I'm doing.
Oh, interesting.
Because what I do, it's beneficial for all students. Visuals, manipulatives.
The teaching approach, the what you use.
It works for all students.
Let me ask you this, because I would consider you an expert in this field of multilingual teaching, multilingual education, given your career and how long you've been doing it and everything you've seen and changes. If you could change, or what would you change in this education area that you're an expert in, if anything, what would you change if you had that power of how you teach or how you approach students or anything at all? Would you change anything based on your current experience or what you're currently doing now?
I recognize the work that Colorado Department of Education is doing to the fact that they require specific hours to all classroom teachers for the recertification of the license. So in the past, all the responsibility, it was on my shoulder. Now it's everybody's responsibility. It's not just my responsibility.
You're not working in a silo anymore. You're not isolated in, over here in this classroom is this teacher that's teaching students how to English language. They're trying to be, that's happening over here. That's not happening anymore. Now you're integrated within the school building itself with other teachers, with how those students interact. You're not set up, right?
In the past, a lot of classroom teachers believed that they needed to be bilingual. They needed to learn Spanish in order to teach a bilingual student.
No, that's not the case.
No, no. If the teacher has all the knowledge, abilities, strategies, the SIOP model, all the teaching tools that each classroom teacher needs, everybody can work with multilingual students, just me.
That seems to be a really good advancement in the area of education over the past decade, couple of decades you've been in it. Really interesting. We're going to keep talking to Elisa Maria Heredia. This is the Valley Pod. We're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
Are you looking for funding to launch a community project, program, or event in Monta Vista? The Lohr Foundation is here to help. Lohr supports projects that are designed and led by locals like you. The best part, there are no complicated applications, time-consuming reports, or grant cycle deadlines. All it takes to start a funding request is a simple conversation. So reach out to the Monta Vista community officer, Yvette Atencio, at lohrfoundation.org today and take the first steps towards turning your idea into a reality.
¿Estás buscando financiamiento para lanzar un proyecto, programa o evento comunitario en Montevista? La Fundación LOR, L-O-R, está aquí para ayudarte. LOR apoya proyectos que son diseñados y liderados por personas locales como tú. La mejor parte, no hay solicitudes complicadas, informes que consumen mucho tiempo, ni fechas límite de convocatorias. Todo lo que necesitas para iniciar una solicitud de financiamiento es una conversación sencilla. Así que, comunícate hoy mismo con la oficial comunitaria de Montevista, Yvette Atencio, en lordfoundation.org. LORFOUNDATION.ORG. Y da el primer paso para convertir tu idea en una realidad.
Hey, we're back. This is the Valley Pod. We're talking to Elisa Maria Heredia. She's been named a finalist for Colorado Teacher of the Year, one of 8 finalists. The winner will be announced in October, but irregardless of whether you win of this 8 of the 8 finalists, the fact remains and will always remain now that you are considered, or you have been elevated as one of the very best teachers in the state of Colorado. This designation of being a finalist for Colorado Teacher of the Year says that you, Elisa Maria, are one of the very best teachers in the state of Colorado. How does that hit you, strike you?
It's a huge responsibility. Lately, I have been trying to be a good citizen, to be a good person, to represent well the school district, what I do. And now with this recognition, the responsibility is, it's a major thing. It's huge. And I'm happy, and I'm going to celebrate this accomplishment, because when I'm reflecting on my path, my journey, and look at me. Yeah, now I am here talking in a podcast interview in English.
Right.
And I was very quiet. I was a very, very shy person. Now, through the years and teaching, I have been learning to be more open-minded, positive, and I'm willing to take risks. And actually, this is one of the risks that I'm taking.
We should also note that Elisa Maria hosts the Alamosa School District Spanish podcast, which comes out twice a month, and you do a great job there.
Thank you.
That's another role that you've taken on for the school district, and I think that's a really good communication tool for you. But I want to ask you, what do you think the public should know about teaching and about being a teacher that maybe they don't know or we don't understand or realize because we're not in the classroom? You hear a lot about teachers. You think you know teachers and what they do. What don't we know, or what should we know about that profession?
The selection of the Colorado Teacher of the Year, it's a very fine project because it makes the teacher to reflect on the work that we do, and we don't realize that what we're doing, how we are impacting the community. Now with this process and through the essays that I prepare for this selection and the videos and the interviews and all this material, I thought, wow, I think every single teacher should go through this process because a lot of times we don't see what the teachers do. It's not just teaching in a classroom. We do other things outside of the school that impact the community.
Have you seen that role of being a teacher change through your career, or is it you're still doing the same work that you always thought, and now you're just understanding the work a little bit more?
In my case, I have a very good leader in our building. Mm-hmm. We have a very strong leadership, and the climate of the school is very positive. Our principal values every single teacher, every single staff, every single secretary, janitor, cook, all the staff. It's very important. It's not just a work for a teacher. Paraprofessionals are a very important component. So the leadership is very strong. And I'm learning a lot from the leaders that I have, that actually I have. And in the past, I had really, really good principals. And I would like to give the credit to them as well. One of them was Diana Rodriguez when she was the principal here at Boyd School. Then my next principal was Kristen McBee, wonderful administrator as well. And now I have Michelle Wilson, and I'm learning a lot. And look where we are.
For you, what would be a goal, or what would be a next goal, or what are your goals in your profession as a teacher, wherever else you see yourself going in the field of education? Do you have those types of goals, or where do you see yourself?
Probably mentoring. Recently, I received an endorsement through Adams State University. They have a good program for mentor teachers. Mm-hmm. And that's something that has been resonated in my spirit, that maybe the next move is going to be mentoring, being, I would like to be a strong mentor.
It sounds like you're enjoying the adjunct professor work, teaching work at Adams State. And it sounds like that's a really interesting way to see your students going from the elementary school setting, which you're in now, progressing through the middle school, high school, and then into college. And now you get to even see that fuller arc because you're on both ends of that spectrum.
Yes, and one of my additional goals into mentoring is how am I going to pose purposeful questions? How am I going to ask those questions to push my students to reflect on their learning? And it's a skill that I need to learn. It's a skill that I need to practice. And this is my year to practice that skill.
Well, again, congratulations on being named one of 8 finalists for Colorado Teacher of the Year in 2026. That's amazing and an awesome award in itself, just being a finalist. She was one of 22 semifinalists and then got the surprise announcement this week with a nice assembly. They just led you to and named you a finalist for the Colorado Teacher of the Year. That's pretty amazing. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Hey, you've been listening to The Valley Pod on our episode with Elisa Maria Heredia. The Valley Pod is produced by Chris Mondragon and is part of the Alamosa Citizen.com podcast lineup. See you around the valley.